Okay, so we are, what? Yeah, today is the 19th of July, 2018. It is, where are we? 9/8/7. I guess the seventh day of Av, Menachem Av, Tavshanayin Ches. And we are up to Rishonim Day. We are up to Rishonim Day of Perek Chaf Vav, chapter 26. So let's really a few Rambans to cover. There's really a lot to do over the course of this Perek. So let's see Pasuk Dalet Vanasa Tigish Mechem B'Tam. So the Ramban just makes a comment here. It's a little long, but just the main comment he has that the rain at the right time is considered the greatest of all the brachos. And he gets into the idea that when we do well on earth, so then it translates into heaven. Heaven sends down the rain to earth, and then the earth is well able to respond with the response of growing things from the earth. So, good. And Baruch Hashem, if we want, we've had our first several cucumbers from the garden, if you're looking for a Tuvia garden update. So, it has already borne vegetables. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I grow all kinds of squash and cucumber.
Okay. So you can turn to Pasuk now, Pasuk Dalet. So Pasuk Dalet, it says, "V'nasatigish mechem b'itam." You're going to have rain at the right time. V'nasna ha'aretz yivula, and the land will give forth its produce. Veitzas da'itin pirio, and the land will give its fruit. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. There will be peace in the land. Ushchaftem ve'ein macharid. Right, you will be able to lay down and not be frightened. V'yishvati chaya ra'ah min ha'aretz. I'm going to send away the wild animals from the land. V'cherev lo savur ba'aretz achem. And a sword is not going to cross over the land. So Ramban here says, what's this idea of I'm going to have the there's going to be a rest from the bad animals of the land? So the the Ramban says that, well, that's actually a machlokas in the Medrash. Al das Rabbi Yehuda shamar ma'av ma'virin mina olam. The Rabbi Yehuda says, well, we're just going to get rid of wild beasts. It's not going to be wild animals. Hu kipshuta, meaning that's the way it is. Shelo yavo chayos ros paratzam, that the wild animals are not going to come into your land. Ki biyos hasheva v'rabos hatova v'heyos ha'arim maleos adam, because of all of the many things that are going to come there, the land is going to be filled with people. Lo taveno chayos, and the wild animals don't come to where things are settled. There is Rav Soloveitchik has a famous piece on that Gemara at the end of Makos when it discusses the Tanayim going and seeing the Beis HaMikdash, and they see a shual, they see a wolf that is climbing around the base, the Temple Mount. And what? A fox. It was a fox or a wolf?
Fox.
Okay, a fox. So a fox, they're saying, so, and the Tanayim are all sad, and Rabbi Kiva laughs, etc. So what's the significance? They could have just looked and seen the destroyed Temple Mount. I mean, what is the significance of the fact that there was a fox that was running around that brought about that reaction? So Soloveitchik explains that an animal like a fox, that symbolizes the idea that there is nothing there. That if there were people there, the fox wouldn't be there. That is itself a demonstration of how the land has become destitute. So that's the pshat that Rabbi Yehuda gives. And then V'yadas Rabbi Shimon Sh'amar Mashbitan Shelo Yaziku, that they will Yomar Vashivasi Ra Sachayos Min Aretz, that they're going to that because they'll be so full, they're not going to cause any damage. So it sounds like they will be around, but there's not going to be any damage. V'hu Nachon, and that is correct. Now, I'm not sure what he means by V'hu Nachon. I mean, does he mean the Medrash is correct? Or does he mean that one is correct, meaning Rabbi Shimon? In which case, Rabbi Yehuda is taking a stand in Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, the Ramban is taking a stand in Machlokas between Tanayim, even in the Medrash. That's a little hard to take there. That's what the Ramban is doing there. It could just mean that the Medrash is correct. But he goes on to sort of talk about Rabbi Shimon's position, which, I mean, the Ramban is permitted to do that. We've spoken about this before. The Ramban, that the idea that people after the closing of the Gemara, are not allowed to argue on the Gemara, we assume that that's only a matter of halacha, that they're not allowed to go ahead and do so. In terms of drash, they are permitted to do so, which is why you'll often see Rishonim, the Ramban in particular, offer pshatim in Gemara, offer pshatim in Chumash that might go against Gemara's understanding of that. Gemara's giving one understanding, the Ramban's giving other understandings. But that he would step in and say, I like this Tana instead of that Tana, I think that that's unusual. But anyways, v'hu nachon, he's correct. That the land of Israel, at the time when mitzvos are being fulfilled, is compared to the world in the beginning before the sin of Adam Arishon. And at that point, animals did not go and destroy humans. Now, it wasn't very long to test that out, but apparently that was the teva of the creation of the world, is that even the wild animals would not go and confront humans. Yeah?
Yeah, no, just okay. Me of Daniel and the lion, all these. So thinking the animals could see that they were holy.
Yes, so that's what the Ramban continues on and says.
We had to answer that. We screwed up. So
right. So
we say that it wasn't the animals changed, we changed.
Yes, that's exactly what the Gemara says.
You see any here also.
So that's what the Ramban, that's this Ramban. Yes, the Ramban says, V'chamosha Amru, as the Gemara says, Ein arod memis, that the wild beasts, the Gemara in Brachos, the wild beasts aren't what kill. El chait memis, rather it's a sin that kills. V'zesh Amar akasu, v'shasha yonik al-chor pitan, and that's what the pasuk means in Yeshaya, that the some kind of beast will be nursing by the other one. V'cheinu para v'dov, tirenav aryeh kevakar yochal heaven, and that the lions and tigers and bears, or the jackals, the various animals, are going to go and eat straw. Kiloa yaha teref b'chayos haros, and they're not even going to attack other animals. Right? Rak b'fnei chetu shel adam k'nigzar alav lios teref. That's only because of the sin of man that caused them to want to be wild beasts, and that's their teva. L'shnei v'horshem ha'teref ha'tevalem, and then that became their teva gam litrov zuetzu, also to attack one another. So the fact that there are animals of prey that prey on one another is only because of the chait of Adam Arishon in the first place. That's not the teva of the creation of the world. When man sins, that caused them all to be bad. That they were learned to go and be able to do this form of attack.
So all the
you got there, double D.
All of the zoology, whatever it is, say animals of prey have claws of a certain shape, a teeth, that's either pro-evolution or that's says that maybe this isn't right. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, the animals are just, there's something inherent in the design of animals of prey that's different from animals that eat straw.
Right. And some are kosher and some aren't. I mean, and birds of prey aren't kosher either.
Animals eat straw, have much more work to do digestively.
Right.
So biologically an animal that eats meat
biologically different.
But, right. So how does that work? So were they not created that way, or they'll go back to not be? Well, I wasn't there. Hopefully I'll see in the future, but I wasn't there in the past. I don't know, but that is his idea. Ramban continues on along those lines for a period of time as well. Okay. Continuing on a little bit. Yeah. Okay, so then there's a very, very famous Ramban over the course of this parak, which gives insight as well for this time of year, and that is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's the conclusion of Brachos. V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem v'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and I will give my reward amongst you v'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and we will not purge you. Okay, and then we continue on. I'm going to walk amongst you, and everything will be fine. And then a pasuk or two later is when we start getting into the kalos. We start getting into the curses. So the Ramban says into this a couple of paragraphs into his discussion of Nasati Mishkani Bartzachem. V'nei habrachos ha'elu kifi pshutan im hayosan rabos klalios v'inyan hamatar hasuvea v'hashalom epiria v'rivia inan kemo habrachos shebeirach kvar v'kzara. That the brachos that are being given here in terms of having a lot of rain and you're going to have peace to be able to multiply, are not like the brachos that were given earlier in short. What were those brachos that were given earlier in short? So he makes reference here to Shmos Chaf Gimel Chaf Hei. I didn't look it up before. What is Shmos Chaf Gimel Chaf Hei? It is the end of Parshas Mishpatim with regards to the bris. Yeah. That's where the bris is. And Hashem will give a bracha to your bread and to your water. And we're going to remove the damage. We're going to remove... I'm looking at the wrong pasuk here. There it is. And I will remove illness from your midst. So the Ramban points out, you know, that's a little bit of a different bracha here. Here we're promising rain, we're promising peace, and there we're promising good bread and solid water. Right? So they're a little different from one another. The Ramban says, there Hashem is promising that you're going to have what to eat and you're going to have what to drink. And it will be for a bracha to the point that it's not going to give you any, you're not going to become ill from that which you eat. Therefore you're going to you're going to have a vessel with good seed and you'll be healthy and you'll live full days, etc. That even though those things will be miracle, I mean the bread that you eat won't make you sick or the water won't make you sick, so those are hidden miracles. That person who's a tzaddik, a person who does what he's supposed to do, so Hashem will take care of him, meaning that all of the things that that a person normally goes out and does will be good for him. Okay? So that's the bracha earlier. Aval elu brachos, but these brachos, Sheba Parsha Hazos, hein klalios ba'am. These aren't individual brachos. These are brachos for the entire nation. Vehein biyos kol imanu kulam tzadikim, and they will be for when we are all tzadikim. Ulekach yaskir tamid bekana aretz, and therefore it's mentioned not about the person, the individual consuming what they eat will be good for them, but rather that the land will be good for everyone. V'nasna aretz levetach ba'aretzachem sholom ba'aretz min aretz, and you're going to have security in the land, the peace in the land, mean the land will be good. Right? It's all about the land. And all of these brachos then, in fact, are miracles. Now, how the Ramban works this out, I'm not quite sure. But ein beteva, because it's not normal, that the rain will come, via shalom lanu mina ayvim, that you'll have peace from enemies, via vo morich belibam lanus mea mifnei chamisha, and you'll have the fortitude in your heart to chase 100 by 5 people when you do the mitzvos, and that it will all be different because of what we plant in terms in the 7th year. Meaning that will bring about nisim guluyim. Those, it sounds like the Ramban is labeling those as open miracles. Now, is that really, how is that an open miracle exactly? Right, it's not a supernatural miracle. Right, it's a natural, it's a clear natural miracle. Right, well, the bracha was you'll have rain in the appropriate time. What's the appropriate time? Night. So, is it a miracle that it rains at night and not during the day? I'm not sure I would qualify it that. But I think what the Ramban is saying, if it always rains at night and never during the day, right? It'll only rain when the fillies are playing away and not when they're home, right? So that would become a miracle. That would be picked up on as a pattern that would be impossible to notice. So we had this in Shul a couple weeks ago, not the miracle part, but a discussion about this, right? Where we try to spell out, right, a person who, there's a bracha that people make, that a person makes on a bracha, on something that happens to them, that a miracle happened. When you pass a place, the Gemara itself tells us, in fact, that the beginning of, what, the 7th parak of brachos, the parak of haroeh, you see the place that a miracle, that's actually what the parak is talking about. You see a place that a miracle happens, so you make a bracha. That a miracle happened to me in this place. Now, how do we define a miracle? How do you know that it's a miracle? So there are supernatural miracles, and then there are open miracles. So the way his, so I saw the description, I forget from whom, it was one of the Benjamin Gush, it's on the Gush website. So he describes the following scenario. Let's say a king says, if I click heads, I'm going to I'm going to flip a coin, and if I get heads, I'm going to hang you, and if I get tails, you're going to go in front of the firing squad, right? So he flips the coin. Actually, so this is in the Yeshiva World News yesterday. Apparently, these cops got in trouble. These cops got in trouble because they got caught on their body cam saying to each other, "Let's flip a coin to see if we decide to arrest this person or not." For speeding, right? So let's say the king flips the coin, and instead of it, instead of landing heads or tails, it just hangs in midair, right? So that's a supernatural miracle. But what about the following scenario? If it's a person flips a coin, a king says, "For every time the coin lands on heads, I'm going to tear off a limb of your body, and I'm going to flip the coin 50 times." Right, but if it tails, nothing's going to happen. So it's only heads you get in trouble, tails you don't. And he flips the coin 50 times in a row, and it lands tails each and every time. So would we call that a miracle? Right? You said no?
No.
No, that's not miraculous?
It's highly unlikely.
Right. I wouldn't call, so the point is, right, it's not supernatural, but it doesn't have to be supernatural for it to be considered an ace. And that's the point they were getting from this Ramban. Right, that's the point of Purim. Purim was not a supernatural miracle, but it was miraculous. It was miraculous. Right, similar...
What if the coin lands on edge?
What?
But 50 times.
Meaning in the first scenario. Right, so we would qualify. Okay, that's not the scenario I gave. I gave that it hung in midair.
Right, but hung in midair is
right. So one's a supernatural miracle, and one is a natural miracle. But you would still call it an ace.
It's a miracle.
That too would be a miracle. I don't know if that's supernatural or not.
It's not supernatural.
Right. Okay. It could happen.
Fine. By law, it's half the time, and that reality has nothing to do with the whole picture. It will be half.
Right. So now would that dude, that guy who got saved because of the coin that landed heads 50 times in a row, would he make a brach of she'asoli nes b'makom hazeh?
Sure, better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's miraculous, even though it's not supernatural.
So normally you wouldn't have it.
So then this guy goes on and says, we find a pattern that when B'nai Yisrael is saved, when the objective is to save B'nai Yisrael, Hashem won't necessarily do a supernatural miracle. A supernatural miracle is when Hashem has to remind people that I'm here. So leaving Mitzrayim required a supernatural miracle. That was going to be, you know, the paradigm, the Olam Vod about Hashem running. Even though you're saying that's about saving the Jews, but we certainly need a paradigm of Hashem saying I'm here. Right? People couldn't have done this, but continuing on. That is a pattern that one finds that B'nai Yisrael is saved often by, quote, natural miracles.
No, I was thinking about the stopping of the sun in the sky. That's supernatural.
Right. Or I would say, when possible, a natural miracle.
What about, like, they say the Six-Day War? Would you consider that?
So I came across this because over the last 12 weeks now, we gave 12 sessions, now we've included, about Emunah in the 21st century. That was the title of the series, where we discussed this issue. And there's a book out, if you might want to get it. Rabbi Chaim Jachter has a book, Reason to Believe. Jachter, J-A-C-H-T-E-R. So he published a book over the last year entitled Reason to Believe, I think that's the title of it, where it's about that issue, trying to bring Emunah into the 21st century, and that's what we tried to do in Shul. So that's his point. His point is, no honest observer of Israel's war for independence, or the war of 67, or the saving of hostages in Entebbe, no reasonable observer could look at it and say that it wasn't miraculous, even though it wasn't necessarily supernatural.
Right, nothing was supernatural.
Right, and that might be what this Ramban is saying also.
That incident, speaking of war, with Rabbi Gorin, captured Hebron.
Right.
Right, it was just he and his driver captured the whole city.
Yeah.
So it's right out of this parsha.
A five will be able to chase 100. Okay.
It's even better.
Yeah. Well, no. One sees many fulfillments of these psukim here. Right. Him. That story there. I said that story. Did you hear that from me? I actually have his autobiography where he describes this, but what actually happened. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see that. I gotta read that. Okay. I lived in Israel right after the Six Day War. And the guys were all fought in the war, and they made it like no big deal. The Arabs, the Arabs are like kids. They weren't.
Yeah. Okay.
They weren't fighting a real.
Yeah. You know what we call that?
During Vietnam.
We call that a Monday morning. We call that a Monday morning quarterback. Right? I wasn't alive back then. but you read the history leading up to it. Read Michael Oren's the Six Days of War. Right? It was not clear that was going to be the conclusion.
No, I'm going to say it.
You're saying it was. You're saying what Sam is saying?
You're right, man. I just meant they personally fought in the war, and they didn't see America destroyed.
Okay.
We were a trained army. And they were a bunch of kids that were bullies. And just,
correct. But it wasn't identified that way beforehand. It wasn't. Right. I mean, that's the result.
Right.
And one could look back and say, oh yeah, the New England Patriots are really a bunch of wimps when they played the Eagles. Really, there was no chance that the Patriots would have won that game after watching it. Okay. But the Eagles are still underdogs.
That worked.
Only
the
Bowmanites. What? My son Melly flew in for a game.
Okay. Right. So, truth is, I'll tell you, that piece, and I forget the author of it, but he wrote it about Hanukkah. That the story of Hanukkah, the fact of the Jews being saved, right, that was not a supernatural miracle. That was an army victory, which they happened to win. The supernatural victory was with regards to the menorah, right?
It's not natural. No way.
Yes. And Rav Soloveitchik, I think, adds in the point that when it comes to spirituality, Hashem is seeking partners, so to speak. That we are available to be able to help with that. I forgot that piece. I mean, we'll save that for another time. I don't want to say it wrong. Okay. So then the Ramban continues on and says, "V'af ha'pi shem nisim nistarim sh'ol kimin hagu noyimam." That even though they're hidden miracles and that the world seems to be going normally, "aval he misparsmi mitzad hayosim tamid liolam kachol aretz." Right? It is the miraculous part is that people will see that it is always throughout the land. Meaning that right, "ki imat tzadik echad yichem v'yasher shemachla mikibo v'yomle yama v'yikari gamzeh b'ksas v'shayim aval shetia eretz achas kula v'im echad tam." Right? Because with a tzadik things might happen. With some Rishayim also, but when it's with the land, right? And it's regularly that land that gets all the rain and gets all at the right time and has peace and has strength and has all these things. So everyone will realize that it comes from Hashem. Halavai, we should get to that day. So then he. Okay, skip a paragraph. He says, "V'aklal ki biyosim Yisrael shleimim v'heim rabim lo yisnoi yinyanim b'teva klal lo begufam v'lo ba'artzam lo b'chalam." It's a normal v'lo b'yochim ki varach Hashem lachum u'meimam v'yasim malchum yirkevam actually. Okay, he continues on along with that theme. Now, one more, that's actually not the one I had in mind. The one more that I wanted to point out is where he gets into a destruction there, Pasuk Tazayin. So in Pasuk Tazayin, he says, "Afaniya says zos lachem you're going to have panic and fear and all that." That's where really Hashem gets into, the parsha gets into the curses that are going to be upon the Jewish people. So Rabban here points out, that this whole course, this whole description here of these curses is really a description of the first galus, of the first exile. Kivavayis hahu. Oh, there. Vice Arishan, how you call Divrei Abris Hazos Hagalos Vagulim Imenu. That this whole idea is representative of the first galus, and he gets into a description of this. What?
Galus Pavel.
Yeah, Galus Pavel. Vizak Obi Yagulim Imenu Maftiach Rak Shiyaskir Brisavos, and also recognize that the only way we get out of it is Hashem remembers the Brisavos. I mean, how does this parsha end? Hashem says, "Vizachartias Yas Brisi Avram Ves Brisi Yitzchak Ves Brisi Avram Lalom Eskor." Hashem says, "I'll remember member of the bris, and then you're going to be brought back. So Rabban points out, yeah, that's the only reason we didn't deserve to be able to come back and build Bayit Sheni. That was the deal. Hashem said, I'm going to take you for a set amount of time. That time was up, and some of you are going to come back. And he gives examples. The Rabban gives examples about how that is. I mean, how we identified that only a couple of people came back, and most people didn't come back, and that we were brought back, but we weren't given the full grandeur that we were supposed to, etc. Right? And that's all this idea that this is the first base of Mikdash, the first galus of Al HaBris from Mishnah Torah. But at the end of the Devarim one, where we have over there the Tochacha, the curses there, Yirmuz Galus Seinu Zeh, we are referenced to our galus, Ulegula Shenigal Mimenu, and the Gula that will be goal from us. Ki Stakalnu Techila Shelo Yirmuz Sham Kates V'Kazavon. The first thing you notice is that there's no set time that it ends. V'Lo Yiftich B'Gula. It's not really even a promise of Gula. Rak Tala Osa V'Tshuva. It is Tola. It is totally contingent upon us doing tshuva. Velo hiska veris heim shiyasu asher vechamnim v'shiyavdu avodas kochavim klal. And in fact, if you notice there also, it doesn't describe avodah zarah. This tochacha, a lot of it is as a result of avodah zarah that you do. It's not over there. Why? Plus the second base of mikdash didn't have anything to do with avodah zarah. And the Rabban continues on for a while spelling out that fact. That is the second galus. That the one in Tocha is the and what is the result of it? So the response of it then is the parsha of Netzavim and Vayelech. What's in the parsha of Netzavim and Vayelech? So those are the parsha of tshuva, right? Ki yet zos sharanochi mitzavcha hayom lo rechoki lo. Mitzvah azos asher amarti alechem. This mitzvah, what I command you today to do. I can't believe I'm forgetting the words here. I'm forgetting the pasuk, but one reads the very beginning of Parshas Netzavim, and one sees very quickly about how you're warned from idolatry, but that will also, once you repent and once you come back, so you'll be good and you'll be brought back to the land of Israel. And when you get there you'll have the brachos kolos will continue on, but you'll be able to, when you have the ability, you'll finally be able to enjoy all of the brachos of the land. And that should hopefully come. May everybody. Yeah, we're gonna. No.